Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is Monk Turner, myspace.com/monkturner. We're going to start by listening to a track off of his brand new album, Calendar, and we'll come back and do some interview and some live stuff. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
January 1st, I'm starting all over again. Starting a new life. My revival. I had a lot to lose, but now I understand. I had to wait for New Year's arrival. It is January 1st, time to start it all over again. On this brand new New Year's Day, I'm gonna walk away from what I was. I wanna see what I can be. It won't be easy. I've been through a lot of pain. The loneliness almost drove me insane. It won't be easy. It is January 1st, time to start it all over again. On this brand new New Year's Day, starting over like I thought I would. Moving forward like I know I should. It won't be easy. Resolution for a better year. Becoming clear as midnight draws near. It won't be easy. It is January 1st. Time to start it all over again. On this brand new New Year's Day. Starting all over again. January 1st, I'm starting all over again. January 1st, I'm starting all over again. January 1st, I'm starting all over again. January 1st, system, starting all over again.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Monk Turner. How's it going, Monk?
Buenos ding dong gilidias.
Exactly. This is why don't we just get right off the start right off the top with this album, man. This is you just released it?
Just released it. It's been in cyberspace for about 3 days now, 4 days now.
And we were chatting a little bit before the show, like you kind of have a unique way of putting it out there. Finding new and exciting ways to distribute your music is sort of the in thing right now. What's your new and exciting way for distributing music?
Well, the iron giant known as the music business, while hasn't completely fallen off the mountain, it is very close to falling off the edge of the cliff and being no more. So I think the old days of distributing music via going into a studio with the support of a record label and then you pay all this money or rather the record label pays it to you saying that we signed you and you're this great thing and thinking that you're not going to have to pay it back, but you will. and putting out your CD and pressing, you know, thousands of them and then touring around and selling that CD and realizing that you're pretty much not making any money off that CD. And you know, then you work at the Quickie Mart down the street. And
the Jollibee.
Yeah, who knows? I think those days are kind of over. So I'm really excited about what's happening next in music. I think that I'll get to your answer in just a second. I kind of sound like a candidate right now. Well, I'll get to your answer in just a second, but wait a minute. Let me say.
But why can't gay people get married? That's what I'm trying to ask you.
But oh, boy. I'm losing my train of thought now. I'll go back to the answer I'm saying. But yes, let me get back to what I was going to say. Now I remember. I think did you hear the news about Madonna, her new label deal she signed?
Refresh my memory.
Okay.
I'm still reeling from Radiohead's latest distribution thing.
Okay, that's another great example. Madonna's new deal is that she will be signed under the agreement that the company that's representing her is going to do full 360 marketing. In other words, they're going to put out her album. They're going to take care of her touring. They're going to take care of her merchandise, everything, with the idea that the album sale isn't as important as the full package. So the fans that go to her concerts, and that money is generated, some album sales, but that's not the focus. The merchandising, which has always been a very important part of the music industry, that's all being part of the package now, as opposed to it being all these separate entities. You have your promoter and you have your record label and all this good stuff. So
the idea is they're selling the artist,
exactly.
Not the artist's product.
And Radiohead, I think, is another great example of, you know, people are definitely looking at music differently nowadays, and especially the fact that it's just a file on your computer now. So anyway, I started this whole shindig off about 2001. I was playing out with bands and doing that whole thing, and I really got jaded with that whole thing too. Kind of the futility of trying to make it playing in bars to a bunch of drunk people and feeling like you're actually going somewhere was difficult for me, because I just felt, you know, we put in all this work, we do all this stuff, and then in the end it's like,
it just, the scene didn't really resonate with you.
Yeah,
as a musician.
Exactly. And also working in a group with musicians and the whole concept of what a band is, it just wasn't fusing. And there would always be, of course, the typical VH1 behind the music arguments and all that stuff that would go on, and the drama and all that. So when one of my bands ended, I was not sure what I wanted to do. You know, of course, the natural instinct is, well, start another band, and then you'll say featuring members of.
Right.
and instead, what I wound up doing is I locked myself in my room with my 4-track, and I wrote some songs about cows. I wrote some songs about clowns. Just some really weird stuff. But for me, that was a big deal, because it was just me being put down, and it was this kind of weird thing for me. So then I started, I was working in a bar at the time, and at the end of the night in a bar, you got to get people to leave. So I started recording this really annoying music, and I was doing it with some of my
to
friends.
To get people out?
And that's what we would do. We would stay up at night, and we'd be like, let's record a dance song where you're just screaming and doing this. And we would do this totally off-the-wall stuff, and we recorded on a CD, and we would just play it at the end of the night. You know, it would be packed full of people, so we would know our music would be heard. But the whole purpose of it was to annoy people and get them out. So then that kind of evolved into I started, you know, writing these albums. You know, I realized that all these things kind of had ideas behind them, and that's when I really came up with this idea of the concept album, which we'll get into later. But what eventually happened was I realized I was putting in all this work and just burning a couple copies for my friends. I didn't know how to get it out. I didn't know what to do. And a few South by Southwest ago, I found out about Creative Commons. And what Creative Commons does is they allow you to distribute your music freely without a problem. They protect your rights as far as an artist goes. So if my song appeared on a Coke ad that I didn't authorize, it's like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. No. You know, this cannot be distributed in for commercial purposes unless with permission. So it's a really, really wonderful way they've set it up where you can get your music out there and not worry about it going into the wrong hands or being used for the purpose that you hadn't intended. I also use a website called archive.org, which their whole purpose is to archive what's happening in the world. It's kind of like a virtual library of sorts. So what I found was instead of burning a few CDs and trying to use this old model of music distribution, which is not happening, and it's actually, if you want to be environmentalist about it, kind of killing the earth with all the paper that's used and CDs and
right.
all that. Instead, you go online and you download it to your computer, and if you like it, you listen to it. If not, you just throw it in the trash, and that's fine. And people from all over the world have heard albums.
If you change your mind, you can download it again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, whenever there's the revival later on or the reunion tour, I don't know. But anyway, it's been a really great method for distribution that I've found. I make this music for my friends. I make this music as a part of my personal diary. You know, it's kind of a chart as to what's happening in my life. And I don't make it for commercial purposes. I have yet to make a dime off any of my music. Now, hopefully that'll change at some point, and then I can start paying people who put in their hard work.
Well, how do you, as an artist who uses a distribution model like that, where the caveat is that it can't be used for commercial purposes, how do you then, when you get to the stage where, you know, you want to be able to make, because it's still not free for you to make your music, you still need the time and the studio space, the musical instruments and all that stuff. How do you make that transition from, you know, to getting money out of your music without ruining the model that you've created for free distribution? Do you do it with shows or something
like that? That actually is possibly the next step. I have made the announcement that my next concept record is going to be, and it's going to be way down the line, so I haven't even thought about getting all the elements together. But
wait, let me guess, but it's going to be $1,000 a track.
Exactly. Checks can be made out to. No, just kidding. No, it's going to be a fusion. I really want to take the concept album outside of album and things, all things music, and move it on to something even bigger. And so the next record I do, I want to work with a visual artist and actually put on an art show where each piece of art has a piece of music that accompanies it, that the two are put together, and the whole art show in general has some kind of overlying concept. So just kind of really just pushing the whole concept thing even further to where it's beyond media now. It's the idea is the most important thing, and everything else just kind of comes up around it. You know, okay, well, I'm going to write a song. I'm a musician. And you're going to do some art. You're an artist, you know. And I definitely look forward to seeing how that works out as far as working with someone in the art world who needs to make, you know, their money because they spent this much money on this oil and this canvas and da-da-da-da.
And talk about the challenges that they have with distribution.
Oh.
They have this one thing. And,
exactly.
You know.
That's the perfect example. And really just trying to make it something where it's this big show, you know, and maybe I'll perform. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's in the future, and I'm sure next time I'm on your show I'll be plugging that art show whenever it happens. But
the idea is you're going to sort of start selling Monk Turner the project as opposed to Monk Turner the guy and his guitar.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, why don't we listen to another track from
Great.
This CD?
Every song on this CD is about a different month. So, of course, we just heard January. Let's go on to March. Let's take a listen to March, and I'll tell you a little bit about March when we come back.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Monk Turner. Stick around.
Why do we still have to go to a march in March when isn't it so clear? Well, doesn't want war anymore. How many youth must die before we decide to put down our arms? Disarm, disarm, disarm. How many, how many, how many, how many? How many marches more? How many, 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 how many? How many marches more? Our moms and dads, they march until their feet were blue. So why are we marching for the same thing too? Maybe we need to start the civil war between the rich and the poor, because they just don't care about us anymore.
Back on Is Good on KillRadio.org, hanging out with Monk Turner. Tell me a little bit about that last track we just listened to. That represented the month of March, and it's obviously March. A play on words with marching.
Of course. Hello, it's not my play on words. I don't know if you've been around town in March and seen the protests that go on in March. Are
true.
You aware of that? I think there's a lot of anti-war, especially protests that happen in March. They take that whole idea of marching and
it's easier for
and
marketing.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't that when the Iraq War started? Wasn't it in March?
It did start in March of 2003.
There you go.
And
you
ended in May of
2003. Oh, ended successfully. Successfully. Boy, let me tell you what.
They're living the life now.
Man, they're loving our democracy. It's working so well.
Yeah.
So it's a I sometimes will write songs where I want to do the wrong thing. And I think a lot of artists, they get tied into their artists, so they got to write songs about save the world, you know, and recycling, and we're all going to come together. So sometimes I like to be that artist that makes fun of those artists, you know. And so this song, there's two songs on this album that I really think are, just to me, perhaps, maybe I'm the only one who'll be laughing, but are really funny. And it's this one and Turkey Time. In Turkey Time, it's basically a anti-help the homeless song. However, it's
that November?
It's November, exactly. It's taken from the standpoint of these people that will come down November to help the homeless.
And then disappear.
And then they forget about them the rest of the year.
I always wonder about that.
Exactly. So it's kind of poking fun of those people, you know? But it is kind of like something that nobody would think to sing about. Same with this song. It's kind of making fun of all these people that go out to protest.
But they're really armchair, what they call armchair liberals.
Perhaps. Or you know, all they do is just kind of make traffic. And you know, it hasn't, you know.
And don't vote.
There you go. It doesn't really make for, I don't know if everybody who goes to this protest goes with the right idea in mind. Granted, a lot of people do. But
sure.
I think there's a lot of people that are just kind of like going along with it. Like, oh, there's a protest. And they get into the whole anarchy thing. And they're waving their flags. And they have their bandanas on and all
that
stuff.
They think they're the Mardi Gras or something.
Yeah. And it's like, wait. What are we, you know, what are we doing? And thinking about, you know, my parents there. And if my parents are listening, I think they are. Hi, Mom and Dad. Mom, I hope you feel better.
Something going around, isn't there?
Yeah. I think she's got the flu. No good. Anyway, thinking about the idea that, you know, when they were my age, they were doing the same things that people my age are now doing, and it's like, you know, where's the progress there? Shouldn't, if we were out there marching all the time, shouldn't there be some more progress? Granted, it does show people that not all Americans are morons, but still, it's kind of the futility of marching, perhaps, you know, and one of the last lines of the song is, maybe we need to start the civil war of rich and poor, because they don't care about us anymore, because, you know, maybe that is the only option left, is a full-scale revolution, but, well, you know, of course, as long as we're TiVoing everything happening on television.
Yeah,
because we wouldn't want to
miss doing the revolution and then miss, you know, an episode of House. That would be
a disaster. I mean, come on, you know, that would be horrible.
Because, you know, he might not figure out what's wrong with the patient in time. let me ask you, what sort of came for you first? I mean, you talked a little bit at the top of the show about how you used to play in bands, but obviously comedy and writing and certainly irony is a big part of your work. What sort of resonated with you first? Was it, like, I grew up on Weird Al Yankovic, you know, like I was a kid and like I was always like super into the whole idea that someone could write songs where the purpose of was to listen to the lyrics because they were funny. And then the music was sort of there to support the lyrics, but it was still quality production. You know, it wasn't just a guy in a kazoo or something. And, you know, that always, as a kid, that always like made me like really interested in it. What came for you first? Was it the lyrics element of music or the music element of music?
That's a great question. I think, you know, for me, it's just in my nature to love to make people laugh and have this kind of odd sense of humor. That's always been a part of me, and something that I enjoy in life, seeing people laugh or get a kick out of something, even if it's, you know, for my own detriment. That's all right. But speaking of which, is that why you made me wear a diaper today? That's the thing I'm not understanding about the show is the whole, like, everybody has to wear a diaper who comes on here.
No, you know what it is? Like, I'm the only one that really takes care of the studio space here. My experience in the past is that if I don't ask my guests to wear diapers, it's just a lot more cleanup after the show.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. We'll keep going. I just want to say I feel really uncomfortable in this diaper right now, but that's cool. You know, you got your own thing going on.
Making my guests uncomfortable is sort of what the show is all about.
Oh, okay. You should change yours,
probably,
by the way.
Should have read that before you came
on
the show.
You change yours, by the way, maybe when we play that next song.
Please continue.
Anyway, music definitely comes first. I definitely am – lyrics I do have a hard time with, but however, concept comes before everything. I should probably let – all those in Radio Land know that I was an ad man, which is why I'm so big on concepts and ideas. And that's kind of where that all came from, is that I think a song's got to have a great idea. Otherwise, what are you doing? You know, and it doesn't have to be lyrical. It could be instrumental, but it's got to build on something, you know? So yeah, for sure, music and idea.
What were the first musical instruments that you know, like as a kid, just started to mess around with and realize that you had a talent for? I mean, you play a lot of different, you program several of the instruments in this using, you know, computer technology, but you also play a lot of live instruments in this as well. What are the instruments that you play, and what are the ones that really you really connect with?
Well, like pretty much every other kid, I was forced to play piano, and I think I had my first recital at six. And then in middle school, I was forced to play French horn, and about after that, I hated music, and I never wanted to have anything.
I played French horn in middle school.
Oh, brother! High five to that. Oh, isn't it the worst instrument ever? I'm sorry if you're a French horn player. I hated that instrument. I absolutely hated it. Oh, jeez.
It's a goofy instrument.
And
it
they
is.
Oh man. All right. So anyway, I hated music. Wanted nothing to do with it. I was actually making the mistake of being an actor. Are you familiar with actors at all?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. By the way, your hair looks great. Can I have one of your headshots?
Thanks, absolutely.
Thank you. So then I don't know. I just picked up a guitar and started messing around with it, and it just got deeper and deeper until I was in middle school, and this kid that I used to beat up, I found out he played drums, and so one day I stopped beating up and said, hey, could I come over one day, and you'll play your drums, and I'll play my guitar, And then it just took off from there, and, you know, basses were sitting around, drum sets were sitting around. You just kind of learn that way, and then as you go on, I just started picking up instruments that were around and just trying them out and just trying to figure out how they could make sounds and all that good stuff. And I think my next step is hopefully going to be this year. I want to learn how the art of orchestration. So the next album, I hope, will be very lush and beautiful and have no parallel fifths.
Let's go back to the album. Let's hear another track. We're going to go on to April?
Let's go on to April.
Or do you want to do a live song? I know you came in prepared.
I didn't want to let you down with any, you know, I know this is traditionally a live performance song, and I think that's a good segue to talk about a little bit of my earlier career.
Let's go back to your roots. We were just talking, actually, about sort of your how you discovered music in the first
place. Exactly. A lot of artists normally will kind of go back to their roots at some time, and I thought I would come in here and perform a song that I used to perform a while back. I really don't do it a lot anymore. I don't perform a lot anymore anyways, but anyway, let's just, do you want to get into it?
Yeah, let me get my headphones on, make sure we have a good mix. Tell me, just for our audience sake, what instrumentation you're going to be using today.
I'm actually going to be doing a cappella today. I think it's just the best way for me to express myself.
All right, cool. Let me get the mics all set up. Okay, whenever you're ready. This is Monk Turner on Is Good on killradio.org.
Yeah, 2008. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. With a roof, roof here, and a farm, farm there. Here a roof, there a farm, everywhere a roof, roof. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
Monk Turner on Is Good on killradio.org.
Thank you.
I got to say, I haven't heard that song in a while.
Yeah.
Is that a cover? I mean, did you consider that a cover? Because the lyrics being a little bit different.
It is a standard, but I think a lot of people, when they do covers, they try to put it into their own light, but I just really wanted to represent it the way that song used to be.
The way it was meant to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, good. That's fantastic. Let's go from that sort of pared down acoustic style performance.
I really feel like I just bared my soul to you right now, John.
That's good.
Could you play? I need to go cry in the bathroom.
I know. I'm going to let you go cry. We're going to play April, was it? Should we go on to April? All right. This is from Calendar, from Monk Turner's new album. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Calm down. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All right. It's going to be fine. No, relax. Let's relax.
You've got some reason. once were mine. You once were mine. Pretty girl, to be in love was not the same as to be with you.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org. Monk, it's time for you to compose yourself and get back to the task
all
at
right.
hand here.
All right, let's get back
this is a serious music show about serious music.
Of course.
You know, one of the things that's really awesome about Calendar is every song is hugely different, mm-hmm. And not just lyrically, but stylistically, genre-wise. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen in a lot of bands who've tried to do that, do concept albums where each song's a little bit different, is because it's so much work, there's a sense of laziness to it. You know, it's like it'll still just kind of be a guy and a guitar, and the difference between their country western song and their hip-hop song is really just, you know, conceptual, as opposed to, you know, what you've done here is really gone all the way with each song. I mean, each one is very textured. Tell me a little bit about the recording process and some of the people that you've gotten involved.
Sure, great. Well, of course, everything I do, as I mentioned that last segment before I broke down, is everything is conceptual. So everything is about the big idea. First, it comes with the big idea of the album, and that is first. It has to be held up by that. All songs have to hold up that idea. And then, of course, second is the big idea of the song. So for me, it doesn't matter what genre it is. It matters what is that idea. Is that genre supporting the idea I'm trying to get across? And I've had albums in the past where it was all one genre. I had a country album that was about animals a while back, so it was all country songs. But so I'm very used to just going back and forth with genres. I love all kinds of music. I listen to everything. The recording process has always been different on every album, and that's also really exciting. Some albums I'll have a lot of collaborators. Some albums I'll write every song by myself. Some albums I'll have a lot of guests, and some albums I just want to do it all by myself. And I think, you know, it just depends where I am in life and who's hanging out and who's sounding good and who wants to be on the album a lot of the time. As far as this album goes, I think probably about 80% of the songs I wrote or did not collaborate with anybody on. But I did have a lot of guests. The way I went about doing this album was very different from my other albums. recorded a lot of demos, all the pre-production stuff, and then instead of just going on to the studio to record, I sent out an email, I sent out bulletins everywhere saying music critics wanted. And what I did is I asked people to fill out a questionnaire based on what they thought of those demos. They Might Be Giants style, right? Mm-hmm. Dial a song. And so I got these questionnaires back. I got about 30 back. And what I tried to do is if everybody tend to say one thing about a song, then I went that way. So there's a lot of songs that changed. There's about two songs that got cut on this album and changed to new songs, and three songs that totally changed genres based on this feedback. I also got little suggestions on each song. This song I was actually listening to, it, that flute part actually used to be a vocal part that some few people said, you know what, we're tired of hearing April Girl over and over again. And I was like, that's right. You're absolutely right. And then I changed it. And it was a really, really cool process because I feel like people were able to take more ownership in what they were listening to. And now that it's out, I'm getting a lot of feedback from people that reviewed it, like, wow, yeah, you took that suggestion I said about that song and you changed it to this style. And
that's really great because people sense that they're a part of the music
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, it's really exciting because I feel like I collaborated with all these people. And this is, you know, people all over the world, people that couldn't play an instrument to save them, and people that are incredible musicians. So when it came to the final recording process, I always say that the biggest thing for me about these albums and why I can even stand to listen to myself is because of the other people on the record and the other talent that's on the record. And this record, I know I'm going to forget mentioning people, but there's a lot of people on this record that are really incredible. Of course, the first song and the song we just heard, the vocalist Marcel Camargo is singing on it. I think he's got a great voice. And the last song we heard before that, March and March, that was God's Will, who's a independent artist. Hopefully he'll be putting out an album within the next year or so. Drummers, also a gentleman I work with, Chad Blumstein, saxophone, woodwind player, extraordinaire, brilliant composer. I've got gentlemen from Devastating Karate on this album, Zach Lewis playing drums, all kinds of guys, but people from all different backgrounds.
And are these all friends of yours?
Or? And they're all friends. Yeah, again, this music is created for my friends more than anything, and hopefully the friend base will keep growing, and it's just kind of really it's all about, like, you know, there's little inside jokes here and there and little things that I know my friends will appreciate and really understand where I'm at that time in life.
And that must make the process a lot easier for you,
sure,
working with friends, because
for sure.
I try to imagine you going outside of the friend circle, invite musicians to come in who maybe don't understand your work or don't understand
exactly
your process.
Yeah.
And
the other thing is everybody works for free. So that, you know, and that's Hollywood for you. But, you know, I always promise that if anything happens, there'll be payment to be had. But everybody's all about what it's about, you know, and a lot of people have heard other people play and say, wow, that guy's really good. You know, I want to have him on this project. So really, it's amazing how these songs are out there and people hear them and are able to collaborate with each other through my collaborations with other people. And it's all this great web of artistry, you know.
Tell me about this this world of being a recording artist versus being a live performer. I mean, you don't play live really at all. Occasionally, you'll step out. I know you supported Kill Radio at a benefit several months ago, and maybe you have future plans to put together some. You were telling me before you have some art projects you're working on, things like that. But sort of in your mind, what does it mean to be a recording artist as opposed to a live performer?
Well, me and the Laws, after we recorded Revolver, it was very difficult to pull off a lot of the studio techniques we had used. Yes, of course, the Beatles, you know, after a few albums decided they weren't going to play out anymore. They felt like a lot of people didn't appreciate what they were doing, and they were using studio techniques that they couldn't pull off live anyway. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel the same way. A lot of these songs I can't perform. One, because I can't sing them. You know, a lot of the songs I write, I can't sing, but other people could sing them really well and beautifully. Also, you know, I want them to be represented the way they are in recording. I think that, again, it kind of also goes back to what I was talking about early in my career when I was playing bars and touring, and I just felt like I was playing for drunk people, and that's just not what I think music should be. It should be an art form that's respected just like visual art is in an art gallery. And until I figured out that formula of making a performance be something really special that people are not talking over and are not, you know, milling about, but are really focused on, and it doesn't involve selling beer at a bar, I'm cool. I'm cool in the studio.
Nice. Let's do another live song on that note.
Okay. Okay, sure.
And I'm going to have a drink.
All right. this is another song from earlier in my career. This is one that my friends have always seemed to enjoy. Let's just get into it right now.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Monk Turner.
Yeah. New for 2008. Yeah. This old man, he played four. He played knick-knack on the door. With a knick-knack, paddy-whack, give a dog a bone. This old man came running home.
It's a short one, but it says so much.
It's very poignant.
It speaks to all generations.
It does. It really does. Yeah. Kind of brings up me, you know, things about health care and care for the elderly in this country, which are big topics right now. You know,
yeah.
Social Security,
Native America, casinos.
Native America, the casinos. Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's good. You know, that's a good song.
Traveling Roadshow. What's it? Traveling Antique Show.
Uh-huh.
You know? Knick knack. That kind of like knickknacks. You know,
paddywhack.
Let's talk about June.
Let's talk about June, man.
Let's hear some June.
I do believe that's track six on this calendar of yours. Let's play this track and we'll come back and come up with some other stuff to talk about. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the album Calendar, the track June, the artist Monk Turner.
June, oh June, here is June. I hate this month. It's the month you decided to break my heart. June, oh June, oh stupid June, I'm here all alone. 'Cause you told me our love for each other must never start. This month. I hate this month. Let me hear them horns. June, oh June, stupid June, I'm here all alone. It's the month I pretended to understand. June, oh, stupid June, the month my heart was stoned. Because you're in love with another man. I hate this month. Take him to the bridge. I hate this month.
Yeah, And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. Hanging out with Senor Monk Turner. Tell me, we were talking while we were listening to that about how the ease with which you were able to put that song together and how some of your most popular songs are also the songs that came out the quickest for you.
I got this reggaeton song I wrote called Take Your Vitamin. And people need to understand, like, that was – I just laid that down in seconds. Like, it really wasn't any thought or any heartfelt anything. And it's not that good of a song. Like, it really is not a very good song, people. Come on. I mean
– What do you think – with songs like that where you're just kind of goofing off and you just happen to come off with this, like, really fun song, what do you think it is in your audience that resonates with them? You
they're
know,
morons. Just kidding. Keep downloading calendar.
Or maybe they're just connecting with, you know, the idea that you're having fun, not putting too much work into it.
Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, I did put a lot of work into that song. But
Are you big with the moron crowd, though?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely Rush Limbaugh fans like me a lot. No, just kidding. No, the people that download my album aren't morons. The people that go to myspace.com/monkturner and click on the link to download calendar and download it and pass it on to their friends, they're not morons.
They represent
very intelligent
the best
people.
Of what
you
America
know, a lot
has
of them
offer.
go on to be millionaires. You know, it's really, really amazing to me how people who download Calendar go on to be millionaires, especially when they give it to their friends.
It's a strange correlation. I mean, you can't really scientifically prove that it's connected,
can't figure
and
it
yet
out.
It's a coincidence.
Can't figure it out.
Yeah,
can't figure it out.
Now, do you have a favorite month?
I have a month that actually is right after June. What is the month after June?
July,
yes. Actually named after Julius Caesar. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. However, that's your fun fact for the day.
I thought it was just an anti-Semitic statement.
No. July is probably the heaviest song on the album as far as lyrical content goes, as far as collaborations go, as far as everything goes. During the time of this album, I began working with a great youth center in South Central Los Angeles called A Place Called Home. They have really great programs for at-risk youth ages 8 to 20. And they have a full recording studio. They're working on a great project, which is a social awareness project based on the community and the needs of the community and issues going on in the community. Hopefully it's going to be released soon. Anyway, I was invited to do a track on the album, and of course I was working on my concept album, and I was like, okay, all right, got to figure out a song that has to do with the months and has to do with social awareness in South Central. Okay, let's see. And I don't know how this all came out, but somehow we came out with Hot July. Has 3 MCs on it. It's got amazing vocalist Paris Montgomery singing on it. Adage from Aesthetics Crew is on it. One of the students at A Place Called Home, Mario, is on it. It's an incredible song, I think, and I think a lot of the messages that are in there are very, very heavy and really get a lot to the point of what's really going on in that community. Mind if we take a listen?
Yeah, actually, but before we go to that, I want to ask you, sort of, is that also an important part of your work, this idea of, you know, you have the music and the sort of gratification you get from making good music, but then aside from that, you want to, I don't know, change the world, so to speak?
Yeah,
I mean,
especially the work that's done at A Place Called Home. You know, we're trying to turn kids from being at risk of joining gangs and crime and drugs into being backstabbers in the Hollywood community and having to take part of the music industry and that whole evil sludge of the music industry. It's such a better change, you know? So practice your chromatic scales, kids.
But do you think music is actually a good way to sort of you know, give kids an outlet?
Oh, for sure. I've seen amazing things happen through music. It's just the magic of music, you know.
All right, well, let's listen to July. My guest is Monk Turner. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
It's another hot day here in South Central Los Angeles with record-breaking temperatures for the month of July.
This summer's been a very busy one for LAPD, with gang violence at an all-time high. The triple homicide took place at 38th and Central today. Standing by on more of this story is our own.
It's gonna be a hot July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. A hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July.
hot July. The O to the T, that's hot like 22 and sirens. But that's alright, that's okay. We gonna make it anyway. Black on brown, hood on hood. Baby crying ain't no good. System broken, hoping that we just keep on keeping on without education. Raising nation full of zombies. But that's alright, that's okay. We're gonna make it through the nine. Step outside, do or die. Live my life with an alibi. Like G-O-D, a rider like no other home. It's time to
be a hot July. Another hot July. A hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. A hot July.
Ha ha ha, a hot July. Ha ha ha, a hot July. Ha ha ha, a hot July.
Burning up the summers in these Angel City blocks. Mama heard a couple shots. Was it the G's pushing rocks or the cops busting glass? Cause the weather ain't the hotness. Swimming through the sinning like the Angelino Loch Ness. But ain't a fantasy, this here as real as it ever was. School ain't for the kids, so they Southside of blood of cuz. Thunderer, wonder what the future could hold. If everybody knew our souls were worth more than gold. Come on.
Together we can make a change. Together we can work it out. People, we're really the same. Inside and out. We really gotta get it together. We really gotta change the weather. We gotta give peace a try. Or else it's gonna be a hot July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. A hot July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. A hot July.
En el verano la calle se pone más llena de asaltantes y de muchos delincuentes. Cuando no hay nada que hacer, se salen a la calle para hacer y deshacer. Esto no es broma, por guías y gangsters muchos terminan en coma. La calle se pone más ardiente, para ponme atención y ponte bien pendiente.
Así es como se vive en este barrio bien demente. Así es como se vive en este barrio bien demente.
Together we can make a change. Together we can work it out. People, we're really the same. Inside and out. We really gotta get it together. We really gotta change the weather. We gotta give peace a try. Or else it's gonna be a hard July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. A hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. Another hot July. It's gonna be a hot July. A hot July.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Monk Turner. Where should people go to get the latest up-to-date information on what you're up to?
MySpace. Add me as a friend on MySpace.
MySpace.
It's a new social networking site. We'll be friends soon one day. And have you heard about email yet? It's really cool. It'll catch on. Don't worry.
It's like mail, but it's electronic.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to put stamps on it.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I've been doing it wrong.
You totally have. So myspace.com, Monk Turner. You could just Google Monk Turner. It all comes up, you know. And everything is on that MySpace page, and that'll link you directly to Calendar. And if you want to stream it or download all the tunes to your iPod, whatever you want to do, it's all on that MySpace page.
And if I want to put one of your songs in my Coca-Cola commercial, that's cool?
You have to talk to Myternity.
Oh, okay. What did the kids think of July, of that last track we played?
They like it. I think a lot of them don't realize that I wrote the whole beat and all that. They're just kind of like, think it's this hot track that came out of the thin air.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of funny, watching them go, "You wrote that, Mr. Monk?"
Seeing you make all this stuff, does that sort of inspire them to think, well, hell, if he can do it?
I don't think a lot of them know. I don't think a lot of them know about what I do outside of there.
Got to keep some of your secrets.
I have to keep a few secrets. You know? but speaking of the kids, there is one song I would like to perform here in the studio, if that's okay. And then I do need to get back on my spaceship and go back to Mars. So there is one more song I wanted to play off that record.
Yeah,
if that's okay.
Absolutely. If you could just go easy on the profanity this time, that would
sure.
be fine.
No, man. And I don't mean to pollute your show like this, but there are some messages that need to get out there, and the best way to do it is with profanity.
It's you know, I couldn't agree more. No, I could. No, wait. Just go ahead and play your song.
Okay, here we go. This is off an album I did. Wow, I think I was about 8 when I recorded this one. Here it goes.
Yeah, 2008, new for 2008.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Ooh!
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Monk Turner.
My bearings here.
That song is deep.
Yeah.
Seriously deep.
Yeah. It's not about Hillary Clinton either. Don't worry.
No. But it is a euphemism for something.
Yeah, perhaps. What would that be, John?
I have no idea. I just work here. Monk, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us.
It's a pleasure being here. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
You know, let me know as I hope the album continues to do
well. Can I take off this diaper now?
No. Not until you're out of the room. And, you know, let me know when you have new projects happening
so we
can talk about them in the air and give you some airtime. And if you ever have any kind of live performance in association with the project.
Sure.
Remind us once again where people can download Calendar.
Best place to go is MySpace page, which is myspace.com/monkturner, or just type Monk Turner into Google and everything will come up. All the tracks are free for download via Creative Commons.
And let's sign off with one more track from the album. What was that, October, you said?
Halloween Night.
Yeah. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This will be available for download and podcast from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com sometime later today. So check back there. I got lots of guests coming up as well. So look into that. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
The sun goes down, the moon comes up, and here come the frights. Here come the frights of Halloween night. They're haunting, it's daunting. They carry flashlights. They carry flashlights on this Halloween night. If you hear a rapping on your door, prepare yourself for a dreadful fright on Halloween night. Ghosts make no sound. Gremlins are creeping and monsters are sleeping. Skeletons are dancing while the vampires bite on Halloween night. On Halloween night.
Werewolves are around. Wolves make no sound. Gremlins are creeping around. Monsters sleeping. Skeletons are dancing while the vampires bite.